India, I found this was on Secret and other cipher work, but I felt that I was not using my time. There were army officers there, and I was a Royal Air Force officer. So therefore I said to them, I must go to the Royal Air Force, and if you don't transfer me, I shall cable to the Air Ministry. They let me go. I went to Delhi straight away to the Royal Air Force. And I was a deputy staff officer there for organization. And one of my jobs was the building of all the airfields against the Japanese, against the Germans coming through, Persia coming through that way. And it was quite an interesting job there. And then of course Mountbatten came out and we formed a thing. But during that time I went over to Cairo, flew back to Cairo, I went to Benghazi, and when I got out of the aircraft Benghazi to go to the officer's mess, I looked on the walls and it said Deuce, and I said, how the hell did they know I was coming? And then from Benghazi I flew to Malta, Sicily, Taranto, and I went up with the advance. And it was advance up to Foggia and Bari. I wanted to see how what was happening with airfields we took over. And it was very fluid, the roads were mined, and it was so fluid that at one time, I was a wing commander then, you see, and as a squadron leader, he had this large, something like a Land Rover thing, and we were in. And we were going ahead, and we actually got behind, through the German line and behind. It was so fluid. And I said, well, now, I was a prisoner in the last war. I'm not going to be one again. So fortunately, we got back again. But while I was there, it was a very, very interesting thing. I came home in 45, because I'd had my 3 years then. I came home. And they simply said to me, well now, you, as you're 50, you're entitled to be released, but of course, as you're in permanently, where do you want to be posted? So I said, oh, somewhere near Oxford or something like that. I forget why I chose Oxford. But anyhow, after a little while, I was asked to join the Tatum Lyre Group. And so I asked whether I could resign. Oh, when I arrived home, I should say, they said to me, your old one of your senior officers, AOCs, out in India, is the head of Transport Command, and he said, you're coming home, you're to report to him. When I went along there, it was Sir Conrad Collier, and he said, yes, I've been waiting for you, Duke. And I said, well, sir, the only thing is this, that I don't want, as they had after the First War, about 4 years after, for there to be this Geddes Axe. And he said, well, I said, I understand, sir, you can't say anything. So I've got to make up my mind whether, after all, I will stay on. Because I said, if I'm 50 now, and about 56, I've just suddenly get it. Through going out during the war, I said I wouldn't come in for a pension, and I don't want a pension. I've made my own arrangements on that line. But then later on, when Tatum Lyre Group said to me, here, what about the thing? I thought, well, this is very similar to what I'd been doing out in Japan years before on the buying side. So I asked if I could resign. They allowed me to resign then. And I was, of course, entitled and allowed to keep my rank, you see. But that was really, I don't know what would have happened, because I used to go regularly to the Farnborough show, be invited there to the thing, and I met a certain number of my senior officers there, but I don't know what happened to the others, what they did after the war. I've often wondered.
Getting back to your time as a prisoner of war during the First World War, the guards presumably were more or less the medically unfit, would they have been, or the older soldier?
Yes, they were. Strangely enough, the officers were not. The officers were not. And the officers were a very mixed lot. You got some who we called, we call them Little Willie. You got others who were courteous. And I know we had one, they used to have constant roll calls. And if there were any trouble, things would go in the middle of the night, you had to go out for a roll call. Well, one particular officer we had, he used to come to the line of about, by rooms you weigh, about 8 or 10 in a room, 9, 9, 9. And he'd go to the thing and he'd just read the names out. And he'd call your, you know, Oberleutnant so-and-so, and every and he'd salute you every time. They were, and the commandant at one camp was at the Graudenz, he was a rather difficult person, but on the whole, you see, we were not compelled to work, the officers, and we refused to do anything to help them. Therefore, they cut our ration, which they said they entitled to cut it by 10%. On top of that, we said we are going to be as troublesome as possible, which means that you will have to increase your guards. And therefore, we are benefiting our side by thinking that's why we tried to be a nuisance to them. And you may have watched some of these films that they've done of the of these prisoner war camps in this last war, and where they were caused a lot of trouble. Well, it certainly happened in our case. The only thing is that, whereas with the Hitler regime, you remember there was some case where they recaptured a lot of officers and shot them, didn't they? Those things. Well, that didn't happen in our case. The only thing is that if they hadn't quite got you and you were disappearing, they would shoot after and they would have shot then. And when I was going by train, there were two or three of us going by train from some little place in France, Belgium, because I was put in a cell, I remember, on Brussels platform station there, going in the train there, and you go within half a mile of the Dutch border. Well, we knew this thing, and there were about four or five of us in this compartment, and we thought we were looking out ready, but the three guards we had with us, when we were getting there, they had took out their revolvers and sat ready, you see, they knew what we were had in mind. But when you say that, they must have been older, the guards there, they must have been older ones, but they were also very young ones too at times.
Presumably conditions in the camp were very primitive for you, weren't they?
Well, in various parts. Now, when we were in the Rastatt, then it was, when we drove into Rastatt, about 20 or 30 of us went in there, and things were primitive. I mean, they used to bring the a bucket of mango wurzel, stuff like that, for you to eat. Well, I refused to eat from the thing like that. We could also hear the dogs, the bloodhounds, baying there. We knew that if we got out, they'd set them on us. Then we went to Karlsruhe. At Karlsruhe, that had been a prisoner of war camp going for some time. And things were very different there. They seemed to have it organized. And then from Karlsruhe, we were suddenly shot down to Landshut, down in Bavaria. And there again, things were very... I mean, I remember they stole my flying boots, and I had two odd shoes, and my feet were through there, but that didn't matter. I don't know whether I had any socks left and things like that, but it didn't seem to concern them. When we went over to Graudenz then, as I said before, there were 600 officers there, of whom about 20 were Royal Air Force, and those were three military barracks, and they weren't so bad. Now, what they did in those military barracks, there were just two floors, I think. And what we did was, there was a basement. What we did was, we broke a glass, a window, there, down in the basement. And while a lot of us were standing round, others would get through the window, get back and do the tunnelling. Now, we made a levee. People, we had beds there with about four planks on. We made a levee of so many, one or two planks from each bed, to shore up the tunnel. Well, of course, when the people escaped, the tunnel came out beyond the wire, well, then they would trace back to the thing. They filled these basements with thousands of logs. And then, so that right to the thing, you couldn't get in there. Then they issued those logs. They used to issue about a log or two logs a day to each room for a fire to go on. Well, what we did was, in one place, in one of the rooms, on the floor, we cut a hole in the floor. And we stood a suitcase over it. Now, the Germans would have a snap thing, and they'd come rushing in, and the person, that suitcase, he'd open his suitcase, they'd search through nothing. They never moved it. They had, there's a hole underneath. Now, what we did was, we made that hole with a cold chisel through into the basement. There, logs. Pulled up logs, and we issued extra rations all round. And we took enough logs so we could get down to the floor, and then more logs till we could get to the end. And the end there, then we started tunneling underneath. And I had myself sat in the window there, and the sentry going marching up and down. You see, well, when the sentry gets to a certain spot, the top, and they stop digging. When he's gone past, then they start again. But it was that tunnel, that particular one, we showed it to the commandant, because it was nearly finished on the 11th of November. And the commandant was horror-stricken, because he said for that he'd have been shot, because they'd filled the whole thing there.
Did you ever suffer from boredom at all? Get on your nerves? Did tempers get frayed amongst the prisoners?
Yes. Now, I used to get up at about 6 in the morning and run round the thing for exercise. When I was at Karlsruhe, I learned to play bridge. And when we moved over to Graudenz, we had a bridge. We used to play bridge all day. That was one of the things too. And many a time I have picked up things, throw the cards down. And that is the nerve, the attention you get. We used to keep a score of, more or less what we owed on the thing, although we knew we would never pay it. But that was one of the... You did get that boredom there, and a form of tension, yeah.
Did any of the prisoners ever come to blows?
The RAF prisoners did not get on always too well with the others, because the difference was that we had been shot down, and the other people had, perhaps rightly, I don't know, had surrendered. That was, we kept to ourselves. But I don't think I ever saw anything like that with the blows between.